News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Indeed it is. Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 7 minutes after 8 o'clock. Got a number. It's going to be a busy weekend, man. There's a lot going on, including a three-day event that's going to be downtown at the Convention Center, Riverfront Convention Center. And it's a brand new event. I'm looking at the website. The website is absolutely fantastic. It's the Eco Wild Expo. Stephen Potts is with Mobile Bay Monthly. They're helping put this thing on. Stephen, good morning. How are you?
I'm great, Dan. How are you?
Doing good.
Hey, Stephen. Dalton here along with Dan. And we are looking forward to this. This event looks absolutely fantastic as you get started at noon on Friday. And what better way to open it up than with Sean Sullivan with Midday Mobile doing his broadcast live from the convention center there. But how did this come to be? I mean, with the folks around here love our outdoors, and this seems to check just about every box.
Right. And so we recognize that, and we just wanted to put on a show that's, hunting, fishing, conservation, really any outdoor recreation. We know Mobile loves the celebration, and so we just want to add this to the annual mix.
Yeah, you're right. It's like, we love a good time, and we certainly love the outdoors, for sure.
Absolutely, and so we've we got to work on this over a year ago, and we got some early buy-in from the Porch Band of Creek Indians, which really they came on as our title sponsor, and that really gave us a boost. And when we were out in the community talking to people about it, everybody was fired up. There was a lot of positivity behind it, so that really helped push us through. At times we got into this and we're like kind of like the dog that actually caught the car. But it's been a long journey. It's been fun to put on, and we think it's going to be a great show. There's just a ton of activities and a ton of great vendors. A lot of support coming in.
Yeah, and with this being the first year of this, the inaugural Eco Wild Outdoor Expo, the schedule you guys have put out there, this is really great, because a lot of first time events, like you say, it's like the dog catching the car, but you guys have done your work because the schedule laid out very nicely. You've got a different variety of experts speaking on different topics, of course a bunch of great music too, and a lot of FM Talk 106.5 friends and hosts will be there. I mentioned Sean, but you also have another Sean, Dr. Sean Powers, who will talk about sustainable fisheries. I guess Don Dubuque will be there on Saturday. And then one of my friends, Dylan Waller with Waller Canine, he's doing some demos this weekend as well. And that's just a few of the many different events and sessions you'll have out there.
Yeah, Dylan's great. Dylan's got, he's actually got my dog, and he's bringing, I've got a Brittany that he's bringing. He's going to be doing some of the demos. So, he's great. We're excited to have him. Activities like the rock wall, we think is going to be a big hit. We've got this giant alligator slide. We really wanted to make this a family-friendly thing and kind of differentiate it from your normal hook and bullet show. So we added things like a butterfly house. We've got this great wildlife art gallery put on by Sophiella. This we think is going to be a big hit. And kids fishing, a BB gun range. The folks at I can't say enough about the folks at Outdoor Alabama and Chris Blankenship and the Department of Conservation. They've been great. They're going to have a room with all kinds of activities, including archery. We're trying to bring people out, introduce them to some stuff that they don't know about, and let them learn, and just have fun and celebrate all the things we can do. And this, it's just such a unique area down here.
Yeah.
With all our access that we just want to put it out there.
It is. It's a celebration of what the area is. But Stephen, for the life of me, I don't think I've ever seen an event like this. We've had outdoor events before, but this is so comprehensive, and it's so, it's got one event after another.
It's almost like a festival.
It really is. And so I think our main thing is to make sure people are aware of this, because I think of a lot, if there's people who miss out on this because they weren't aware of it, or you're going to be sorry, because this has got just about anything and everything you could want about enjoying the outdoors in this Mobile Bay area.
And Stephen, food, will that be available there? We already talked about the music and some of the talks that will be happening on the stages, but is food available?
Right. We are going to have some food trucks there, so we're excited to have them. And then, there will be some concessions there. It's going to be a good time. We're some other things that we're doing that, you're right, Dan. I haven't seen another show like this.
No.
And it's kind of a, in our business, we're in magazines. We try to find a niche audience and try to really narrow it down. But this one, we kind of went the opposite way. We got something for everybody. So we've got these cool giveaways. We're going to give away a dove shooting trip in Argentina. If you go on the website, you can see all of them. We've got a VIP experience with the Montgomery Whitewater. So this is cool Montgomery Whitewater place where you can go do all kinds of really incredible stuff up there. I'm excited about lifetime hunting license and the lifetime fishing license. I mean, that's a great gift or, a great giveaway. So,
How was this? We'll get to how to get tickets and all here in just a moment. Who the heck was in this meeting that hatched this thing? It's a big endeavor, Stephen. So when did you think this was a good idea? Because I know it's a lot. I think it's going to be great. But, man, this is you had a lot of things to pull together here.
Right. So, we've had a lot of meetings and where we thought it was a good idea, and then a lot where we thought this was a terrible idea. No, but it's been great. So we've got a great team at our company, and we've looked around. We've done a lot of research. We've had consultants, and we really couldn't have done it without them. We brought on some full time employees for this, and. So it's been a big undertaking. It's almost like starting a new business.
Yeah, that's what it looks like to me.
One of the things Dan has been raving about this morning, and I second that, is this website, ecowildexpo.com. Really well done. And you can see everything about it as you make your plans for this weekend, down to the floor plan, the schedule that I was talking about, and everything that will be available to you out there. But I'm guessing that's also the best place to purchase tickets is there at ecowildexpo.com.
They're in, at the door. So, I think I talked to Sean yesterday, and he mentioned that Mobilians, we like to decide when we want to decide. So we just come to the door and get them, and it'll be easy. And, again, kids 8 and under are free. So we feel like that's a good thing. We want the kids to come in and enjoy and learn and become outdoors men and women themselves.
So general admission age is 9 and up, $15, and then general admission military discount is $12. Right. So that's a great. And I'm right there. I've just clicked on buy your tickets here. So that's as easy as it can be. We've got to buy tickets online for nearly anything and everything now, including high school sports. So everybody's pretty much used to that. You can wait and buy at the door if you like. This is going to be a great, great weekend for an inaugural event. Stephen,
I think kind of what we've been saying is Art Walk's Friday night. So come to our show and hit Art Walk 2 and enjoy everything downtown has to offer Friday. Or, Saturday you got all day. You can come in, at your leisure. And then Sunday, Mother's Day, we look at it like, hey, this is a great family outing for Mother's Day.
Yeah.
Or Dad says, you know what, Mom? I'm going to take the kids for a couple hours. You enjoy some peace and quiet.
That's
what you really want.
That's what Mom really wants, is for us to get the heck out of her way. When you get out of her way, do it by going downtown to the Eco Wild Festival. And Stephen, appreciate your time this morning, and I will see you out there.
Great, man. We look forward to it.
All right, that's Stephen Potts with Mobile Bay Mag and the Eco Wild Outdoor Expo on the way this weekend. And how about right now we give away a family four-pack, another family four-pack for the Outdoor Expo this weekend. Caller number five at 251-343-0106. Caller number five, you get that family four-pack, and we'll have three more to give away this week. So stay tuned, but to make sure you're not left out, you can purchase those tickets at ecowildexpo.com. Again, that starts Friday at noon with Midday Mobile live from the Mobile Convention Center getting it kicked off.
They must have so many partners in this thing. People who, you mentioned some that have ties to FM Talk 106.5, mm-hmm. but my goodness, the kids fishing and the BB gun range and the bees exhibition and the butterflies. I hope the butterflies and the bees don't get mixed
Keep
up.
Keep them away? Yeah. I don't know what that would look like.
Yeah. Probably would not turn out well. But that is this weekend. It is all 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Convention Center downtown. I would highly recommend it because I was aware of this as it was being hatched, mm-hmm. back at, like Stephen said, about a year ago. Well, a lot of work's gone into this.
I don't know if we'll be able to get Sean Sullivan out, you know, once he starts at noon on Friday.
Yeah.
Does he even leave? I think he just stays overnight.
He'll be his own political prisoner. It's like free Sean Sullivan from the Eco Wild event at the convention center, but he'll take JB down there, and they'll have a huge time.
Yeah, and I mentioned my friend Dylan Waller. So yeah. Waller Canine, a couple demos, one on Saturday and Sunday. Great guy. If you're interested in getting your dog trained, Waller Canine.
That's the guy for you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. We took Chase out there. And he's down there off Fowl River Road, just off DIP, but does a great job, especially with the bigger dogs, getting them trained up. Check that out, Waller Canine. He'll be there that weekend. And then I mentioned it, Don Dubuque, yeah. Sean Powers, Sullivan. This is like an FM Talk 106.5 homecoming out there.
Yeah, it'd be great. The Sean show on Friday will no doubt be outstanding. It's noon to 2 out there of Sean's Midday Show. 818, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. We get this lady's name right. Governor of New York. Hochul.
That's correct. So Kathy.
She's in a little hot water. She's out in L.A., and she was trying to make a point about kids who are underprivileged and not aware of certain things because they're promoting this Empire AI initiative.
That's why the governor of New York was in L.A.?
She was in L.A. I don't know. She was at a conference in L.A., so she was a speaker there. Anyway, what she said was she now had to apologize after saying that there are black kids in the Bronx who don't know what the word computer means. Now, what she was trying to do was make a point that these kids are underserved,
yeah.
and they don't have, and that they've got this new cutting-edge technology that's going to help kids like that. But if you just look at the remarks by themselves, it's like, I don't think you're supposed to say something like that or put it in little softer terms.
Yeah, I mean, we see it time and time again, and Biden steps in it all the time, where, you know, these far-left liberals who are all about social justice and equality or equity, they end up sounding, and I think are very often, very racist. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's hidden under this cloak of, I want to help you.
Yeah.
But then the things they say, you're like, you know, there's a lot of, like, black folks, Asian folks, Latin, there are a lot of smart people out there. And there are a lot of dumb white people out there. There are a lot of underserved white people. When you talk like that, you end up sounding like you're talking about, like, a different type of person.
Yeah,
it's insane. Like they end up
some sort of species.
Right. They end up coming off way more racist.
So what she's trying to say is, hey, look, there's kids in the black kids in the community that is underserved, and these poor kids, we know they've got good brains, but they don't have the opportunity, right? Which is right on. But when she says there's black kids in the Bronx and we know what computer means, it was poorly worded, mm-hmm. and she is catching flag from both sides of the aisle.
Yeah, what about iPhones? I'm sure they all have iPhones. The same people she's talking about there. Yeah, and don't they get most public school districts? I think maybe most is a little strong, but are giving computers to a lot of the students during their high school
years. I would think so at this point,
especially in a place like New York.
Yeah,
right. So she definitely stepped in it.
She did.
Earlier we were talking about this annoying neighbor. Speaking of New York, on Roosevelt Island, there's this guy who just drives around playing annoying animal sounds out of his black Dodge Challenger very early in the morning and throughout the day, and these people are fed up with it. And so that brought up the question, who's the most annoying neighbor you've had? And I was wondering if maybe I'm not that neighbor in my neighborhood in some ways. I mean, I have a loud dog, but he's only loud during the middle of the day.
Yeah,
he's quiet the rest of the day.
You're not that person.
I don't know. But I've had some annoying neighbors in the past for sure. And Don, he responded. He said, the most annoying neighbor I've ever had was my neighbor who raced sprint cars. After he would rebuild his engines, he would fire them up sometimes in the wee hours of the morning, let them run for about 5 or 10 minutes, and they were all open header engines and very loud. Occasionally,
what?
He would even grab them through the neighbor. Occasionally, he would even grab them through the neighbor, shutting off car alarms and rattling the glass in your house. So I'm not sure what you were trying to say there, but I guess when he takes off down the street, it was so loud. That it was setting off alarms and in the glass, the windows in people's houses were rattling.
That guy was unaware that he was doing all this or just didn't care?
Maybe he didn't care, but I asked Don, and I won't say the name unless Don says I'm allowed to, but I said, how did this end? Did you just have this neighbor forever? He said he and his son ended up becoming very famous race car drivers.
Wow.
So that's how that, and it is a notable, very notable name if you follow the world of racing. So sometimes that annoying neighbor is annoying for a reason. They end up being world famous.
I remember up in a guy I've told you about many times, Ronnie Caldwell, who lives up on the backwaters outside of Columbus, up to Chattahoochee. And his mother was annoyed by a guy who had a loud motorcycle. Hmm. So she moved to an apartment next to the airport. Ronnie could not get over that. He said, you have traded one motorcycle in for 20 planes a day. And she didn't quite know, Ronnie, he was annoying. Yeah, Mama, but where you moved is more annoying. Anyway, I thought that was funny.
That's hilarious. David says, leaf blower every morning of the year. Oh, don't tell me you have a neighbor who's blowing the leaf blower every morning. And how early? I've had that conversation a ton of times. And my work is on the weekends. How early am I allowed to get out there with the mower?
Eight.
I think that's the time I settled on.
Yeah, and there was a guy behind our house doing work for, he was contracted to do work for a homeowner on the other side of our fence. And for a stretch there, he was getting there at like 6:30. And I had to tell him, I said, man, I guess you have to work when you've got to work and you've got to, but I'm not digging it.
You're killing us. Yeah.
You're killing us.
And for, folks like us, and there's a lot of y'all who listen to us who get up even earlier than I do, you end up on the weekend waking up early and you're like, well, I'm not allowed to do anything outside. You're kind of just biding your time until everyone else around you wakes up so you can get to work.
It's worse when you're on the road, right? When you're staying at a hotel.
Yeah.
And you just wake up naturally and the kids and the wife, they're asleep.
Yeah, you got another 4 or 5 hours
until
they wake up.
Yeah.
Unmuffled four-wheeler, New Year's Eve. Let's see. this guy, this texter, morning, gentlemen, are you going to the Fluffy comedy show this weekend? You're going to be there, right? You're talking about is his name Gabriel Iglesias,
yes.
The comedian?
Yeah.
I think he's playing Saturday night.
I will
be down at the Fairhope Rotary Club State Cook-Off.
I will, too.
Looking forward to that. You were talking about how many things are going on this weekend. That just shows you some of the problems you have when you're on the Gulf Coast.
Yeah.
Do I do this? Do I do that?
Absolutely. And that is really a great event. If you want to meet people on the Eastern Shore, here's the deal. A lot of them are there.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say they're all there, but a lot are there.
I'm less excited about the people, more excited about the steak and the drinks.
Yeah, the steaks are excellent. It's 8:30 with Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings.
Hey, 8:35 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings on a Wednesday. Right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
We are great, and it's heating up out there. That is for sure. It's another couple days in the upper 80s as we head towards summer. And good news for a lot of folks out there, if you're needing a new ride, not only is there air conditioning in a lot of these vehicles, but even cooled seats and cooled steering wheels, but you've got a lot of fantastic new and pre-owned vehicles on the lot right now.
That's right, McConnellAutomotive.com. You can see every one of them on that. I mean, we've got a great selection of pre-owned certified GM cars. We've got, like I said, a bunch of imports on the new car side. We've got we're getting back to the old days when we had to park cars on top of cars. So we've got plenty of them here, and you're right, it's getting hot out here. We got the mechanics going good back there because we got an air-conditioned shop. Any one of y'all mechanics out there would like to have a job over here in a nice air-conditioned environment, come on over here and see Charles Prim and talk to him. And we're looking for some place in the body shop. Go back there and talk to Thomas and them. They'll put you to work real quick, like. And like you said, well, we've got a great selection of cars, so come by and see us.
And also, you're welcoming back an old friend here recently, right? In the
That's right. We got Eddie Hicks back. He's our used car manager. Gene got a little promotion. He's the new car manager now, and over all that stuff over there. And he's got a job to do because, like I said, we got a bunch of inventory. Mm. So. We got three Hummers. I mean, I had never had that many here in a long time. So you want one of those electric Hummers? Come on by and see us.
That's the thing to do. We appreciate it, Louie.
Thank you.
Louie Arata, you'll find him and the whole crew there at McConnell Automotive, Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and the website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Everybody seemed to have kind of a field day with the analyzing post. I think today's an off day, by the way. There's no the Trump trial. They take today off. But
yeah, Daniels. Are we calling her Daniels or Clifford? I don't know. Some of the news articles are going with Stormy Daniels. Some are going with her real name, Stephanie Clifford, right? And I think that's the name. But she'll be back at it tomorrow. So even more testimony
from
the porn star. No, she's back. They kept her in town.
Okay. So a lot of folks think that things kind of got off the rails a little bit was that the problem of would you blame the defense? Would you blame the prosecution? Would you blame the judge himself?
Well, the prosecution is going to get away with what it can get away with. They're going to do anything to damage Trump's character, even if they don't get out of this with with him actually being indicted or with him actually serving any jail time or whatever the punishment ends up being. If they can get as many hits on him as possible going into November, they're going to try to do that. So it's up to the judge, Juan Merchan,
say, hey,
to make this a fair trial and make it for the jury as objective as possible. And, they keep hitting Trump over and over with these gag order violations. And I think a lot of people are thinking, man, he must be, he must be threatening the lives of certain, and that's how they say, they're like, he's putting the jury in danger with the things he's saying. He's putting so-and-so's family in danger. You look at what he's actually saying and being, fined for and threatened with jail time. He's saying the same facts we've been saying for a long time. 95% of Manhattan there, where this trial is, are Biden voters.
Mm-hmm.
So the odds of finding a jury that's even close to 50-50 is impossible. And that's one of the things that he said again after court the other day, that he was hit with a gag order violation. They're saying that's making things unsafe for the jury. And you also have, Michael Cohen, who we've yet to see testify. He's the star witness.
The old fixer.
Even though they're saying Stormy Daniels is the one that everybody's wanting to hear from. Cohen is the prosecution's star witness. And Trump isn't allowed to talk about Cohen. He's not allowed, I don't think he's allowed to talk about Stormy Daniels. But Cohen and Stormy Daniels can go out, and especially Cohen, who's still getting hits on primetime. I don't know if it's on the big shows, but he's going out there talking. And they're allowed to say what they want. And with this gag order, Trump isn't.
Yeah.
So that's why he's saying these are free speech violations. These are people who are public personas who have the ability to damage my reputation while I'm in trial, and I'm not allowed to push back without the threat of being thrown in jail. So you have that whole sideshow, but then this Stormy Daniels thing, the Trump defense, apparently in many of the pre-trial meetings or meetings with the judge in between days of the trial, were trying to strike a lot of what they knew she was going to say out. They were saying she can't talk about this, and this, because it has nothing to do with the actual charges.
That's what she did yesterday. She talked about A to Z that had nothing to do with the charges,
right?
And it was allowed, and she just went on, and so that's why what a lot of people are talking about. Yesterday, we were sitting, kind of preparing today a little bit, but we could not prepare for this story because we didn't know what she had said yet. It had not yet been reported. It was in, she was in the midst of it, right? Well, it all got said and done, and then you have like Jonathan Turley, legal expert on Fox. He's analyzing all this, and he's seeing it. I think you mentioned it, but it's almost like a punishment on Trump, even though it's not jail time. They're just taking their shots at him because it's being allowed in court. So here's what Turley said, among what he said yesterday.
The prosecutors wanted to get salacious details out. And this is a form of punishment. They're trying to use a witness for punitive purposes and, in my view, political purposes. And this is what happens. And it happened because the judge lost control of his courtroom.
And remember, what she described yesterday were allegations coming from Stormy Daniels, allegations that Trump has denied, whether you believe him or not. But these are allegations of not, you know, sexual assault or even sexual impropriety.
No.
But of a consensual meeting, right? That's what she's alleging here. And she shopped that story around. And she had it in her back pocket, you know, since 06 when this allegedly happened. Trump starts getting world famous. He was already world famous. Whatever kind of famous you want to call him in
2015. He became political famous. He became a guy in the crosshairs who was either going to become president or, I mean, look, there was, how far along in his initial campaign did anybody really take him seriously? And then suddenly he's president. Now you're the most famous guy in the world.
Yeah, and a lot of these allegations didn't start, you know, becoming public until after the Access Hollywood tape. And that's also the same time where you started seeing some of the people who had come over to Trump's side kind of reluctantly backed off. And the Trump team was saying, hey, this tape, it's a bad look. But now you've got these other allegations. And whether they're true or untrue, it doesn't help our cause. So they started doing, apparently, allegedly, and whether Trump was in on it or not, I don't know. We know Cohen was in on it, but started buying these stories to quiet it down going into the 2016 election. And we know that Stormy Daniels' attorney had this story for years, and he saw the best moment to shop it was 2015, 2016. And he even tried to shop it to a couple other publications who didn't take it. And then Cohen steps in, and the National Enquirer guy, David Pecker, and worked together to allegedly, you know, buy this. Well, that part didn't allege. They bought it from Stormy Daniels, had her sign the NDA, which she says she signed. And that's why yesterday this whole thing was just ridiculous, because the trial isn't about what happened. That's not illegal.
No.
Whatever happened in Lake Tahoe. But whether the Trump campaign committed a felony by kind of obscuring these things in the campaign records. But that's not sexy, right? And it's another part of this is this needs to be live. This trial should be live. We should, as Americans who are going to vote in November, we should be allowed to watch Stormy Daniels give this testimony so that we can get a read on how she's acting. Does she seem truthful? Does she seem to, we don't get any of that. We just get these slanted journalists who are sitting in there telling us what's happening in their own words, and I'm sure that's completely intentional.
Yeah, and sketches that make Stormy Daniels look like like who was the guy that did all that abstract art? It's like is that the best you can do there? I saw one of the sketches from the courtroom that was like that's a C minus right there.
There's been some bad ones.
So Trump, all he, you know, he's reaching out on Truth Social, right? That's his way to.
And he posts and then deletes. That's his new move to try to loophole the gag order. He'll post something and then delete it really quickly. And then, of course, once it's on the internet, it's always on the internet.
Yeah. All caps. The prosecution, which has no case, has gone too far. Mistrial. I think Trump's attorneys were giving it their best shot to try and get a mistrial yesterday.
They were, yeah.
That was, you know, what were the chances that Juan Merchan was going to do that? He himself said that, you know, there's things that were said that he wished hadn't been said, wasn't part of that testimony, but it was. But he said it did not get to the point where he would consider it a mistrial.
Well, yeah, I mean, her talking about, you know, blacking out, not from drugs or alcohol, shaking after she made herself sound like the
victim. Yeah.
Which is not even in the equation here. So absolutely a miscarriage of justice yesterday. But then Trump did get some good news with Eileen Cannon, the judge in his Florida, the Mar-a-Lago documents case. There's been so much weird stuff going on with that case, and even more recently, the most recent thing here, they found that the government misplaced or mishandled a lot of those classified documents that they gathered from Mar-a-Lago. So yesterday, she said they are going to push it back. They had a May 20th trial date for the Mar-a-Lago case, and that has been indefinitely pushed back. And now legal experts are saying that case likely will not be finished, or maybe not even start, until after the November 5th election. The other two cases that Trump is facing here, also very likely to be pushed back past the November election. You have the one federal trial with Jack Smith. Remember, that's in the hands of the Supreme Court right now as they examine what a president is or isn't allowed to do in office, whether it could be criminally held against him once he's out of office. And depending on when the Supreme Court comes out with their ruling, that's very likely to be pushed back past the general election. I think late June is when they have to have it in, the Supreme Court does. And then the other case is the Georgia case with Fannie Willis. And when all of that went down with Fannie Willis and Nathan Wade, of course, we all remember that. The judge ends up kicking Wade out. He says, you're off. You're out of the team. But he keeps Fannie Willis on.
Yeah, that, what I remember most from that was Fannie Willis's on the stand. Mm-hmm. And that was not a good look at all. And somebody can claim, boy, she stood up for women and she stood up for black. No, it was an atrocity.
Well, see, that's my exact point with having these trials held live. Because, you know, if we didn't have a camera on Fannie Willis that day, you would have just gotten the report from the pro Fannie Willis reporters there in that courtroom. And you remember what they all initially were saying was exactly what you just mentioned. Oh, she's standing up for women. She's standing up for black women, this and that. Those of us who actually watched it were like, this is a lunatic. She is sick with power right now. And she thinks that she can just do whatever she wants. That's what people who watched it saw.
Yeah, that's what, well, and again, it's America, right? You've got people disagreeing with what they saw. I know what I thought I saw, and it was somebody who was boxed in so bad, she just came out like a Wolverine. Mm-hmm. Like she was the victim, and she was this, and she was that, but she wouldn't, in no way did she kind of, let up or try and just apologize or say, you know what, I was wrong here and I probably should not have. No, she came off very arrogant to me.
I thought so too. And we were able to see that because they had the trial, you know, live, which is what they should be doing here. But that Fannie Willis trial also likely to be pushed back past November 5th, the general election, because the Trump team is appealing her not being dismissed. So three of those four major cases now.
Wade was out. Wade took the punishment, but Willis did not.
Right. And then the Trump team appealed Willis not being kicked off, which is going to take months.
Okay.
So now you're looking at three of those four cases, Mar-a-Lago, D.C., and Atlanta, being pushed back past the general election. As things stand now, you just have this Manhattan case, which who knows how the jury's going to rule, but I know how it appears that America's ruling. And there, a lot of America seems to think there's not a whole lot of fire where that smoke is.
I'm still trying to research why, and I don't know if we're going to come up with an answer or not. So far, no go. But why certain trials can be streamed or televised and others are not. I don't know if it's got to do with the jurisdiction. It's in Manhattan. Maybe it's a no-go there. I don't know. But maybe somebody can help me get that answer to me before I find it on my own. Guess what is now considered pollution? You're going to love this. It's on the way. It's hard to resist the delicious smell of food cooking at restaurants, but now it has been determined by NOAA. That's air pollution.
The smell of cooking food?
Yeah, Las Vegas is in big trouble with it. They got all those restaurants on the strip with, Italian, Mexican, whatever, steakhouses. Everything you're smelling when you're walking along the street, same, you know, trucks.
Yeah.
Food trucks. Like, wow, that's awesome. Coming out of somebody's apartment, they are polluting the air. That's a ruling by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration.
Meanwhile, the coal plants just keep running in China and getting after those minerals underground, but they're going to make us stop cooking steaks.
Yeah, exactly.
Not cool.
No.
It is Wednesday. It means it's time for us to check in with Jeff Poor as he prepares for the Jeff Poor Show today. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Dalton. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. So I'd love to have a specific question for you. But after everything that happened these last couple of days, what's going on in Montgomery?
There's a question.
I know the budgets are making their way through. Ivy signing the general fund budget very soon, but still a lot of questions on gambling and the ethics bill.
The gambling stuff is kind of fascinating, guys. So this big deal, and we don't talk about it a whole lot in our part of the state, but some of you might be aware, they want this ag center, the farmers in this state. It's a facility that would, like, have state fairs and rodeos and cattle auctions and, where you had to contest for your prized pig
We're behind other states on that, right?
Luke Bryan concerts.
We don't have one of those.
Right.
So Alpha has decided they want to put it. They got the land, the Hallmark Farm in North Jefferson County. If you ever drive up from between Birmingham and Huntsville, you get to the Warrior River, you'll see the farm. It's a big, big farm. They decorate for Christmas. It's on your be on your left if you're heading north toward Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to put it there. And the state had put in some money into the education budget. Because the education budget, the idea is there is tourism dollars to be had from this. And tourism taxation goes into the education trust fund. So anyway, long story short, yesterday at a conference committee where they are trying to iron out the differences between the House and the Senate budgets, the House conferees, two of them who were gambling conferees, Sam Jones, former mayor here, and Andy Witt from North Alabama, stripped out the money for that ag center. And leading one to believe, because Alpha is so adamant about gambling and staunchly opposed to it, this is retribution for killing the gambling bill.
Wow.
That's something else. And so did the House wait until the Senate couldn't do the same to them? Like, do you think the Senate will volley back, or what do you think happens here?
Well, I don't know about – I don't know if it's necessarily the Senate, but it can do a whole lot here. But what's happening is Shay Shelnut, he's a lawmaker from Jefferson County. He's a senator. He's taking it. He's filibustering everything. So he's assuming the role that like a Roger Smitherman or Bobby Singleton would, making him read the title of every bill, making him have a roll call for every vote. And he is talking and using his time as much as he can, trying to run out the clock. Because all they are doing in the Senate right now is voting on House bills, because it's too late to start in the Senate and go to the House. So everything that's already passed the House has gone to the Senate now, with just 2 days left. And he's hoping that the clock runs out and leaves some of these House bills on the vine as retribution.
So with all these well-educated adults in one place, were we banking on at the very end of the session somebody would pitch a fit? And then that's it?
I mean, this happens, but Paul DeMarco, and he's coming up on my show today, but we were talking on the phone last night. Never have seen the Alabama legislature in any way target Alpha like this.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah,
this is new territory.
That's some stones right there.
Wow. That's something else. Now, the ethics bill, it was in committee yesterday. Seemed to maybe, I don't know how much momentum it had going in, but a vote coming today. What are you seeing with that?
I still think it's 50-50. The Senate, I don't really get any desire by a lot of senators. I think some of them are okay with it, but no one's really strong enough to really push this across the finish line. I'm not saying that it's dead, and with gambling, if gambling is really out of the way, its odds go up. But I don't sense any impulse or any desire to really do this in the Senate.
How much sway does A.G. Marshall have with lawmakers, generally speaking?
A good bit. And I think that has a lot to do with why it's not really caught on yet.
Is it Marshall? Is it the office itself? What are they cautious about?
I think it's a little bit of both. People do have reverence for the office, but there's a deference to Steve Marshall. Just because I think he's a respected figure in Montgomery.
Okay.
We all know what Ivy feels about the gambling bill. What's Ainsworth's take on it?
That's a million-dollar question. He's been laying low. He doesn't really want to go either way on it. But if I had to guess, probably against it, but he doesn't want to get on the bad side of the people who are for it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because he's got the eye on the prize next time around for governor.
So you mentioned you'll have Paul DeMarco on. That's coming up 11:30. Hour number one, Congressman Jerry Carl joins you. Looking forward to that conversation.
Okay, Jeff, thanks a bunch, and we will be ready to go here a little after 9 o'clock. Look forward to the show.
All right, thank you for having me on.
Jeff Poor. The Jeff Poor Show on the way in minutes. And Mobile Mornings, we'll be back tomorrow morning at 6. Again, your chance to win family four packs at the Eco Wild Outdoor Expo tomorrow on Mobile Mornings.
Good explanation of that earlier today in the 8 o'clock hour when we talked with the representative from Mobile Bay Monthly. It's 8:59.